Welcome to the Florida History Podcast. I'm Carter Krishnire. We're going to take a week off from our narrative on the Underground Railroad and freedom in Florida. We'll complete that series next week, and then Robert Bucciolato will be back with us the following week to discuss an exciting new topic in Florida history. But wanted to take a moment of personal privilege, or a moment of privilege, I guess, to discuss the ongoing controversy over the so-called critical race theory, which has now been banned from being taught in Florida schools by the Florida Board of Education, much at the to conform with the wishes of Governor Ron DeSantis, who has been a critic of the so-called critical race theory. And I think it's important to discuss this specifically on this show, even though it's a contemporary news event, because it affects what we do as a podcast and what we do on the Florida Squeeze website. And speaking of the Florida Squeeze website, we've launched a new paid tier of the Florida Squeeze called the Florida Squeeze Plus, TFS Plus. Go to the FloridaSqueeze.com website for more details on TFS Plus. It's a paywall, but it gives you new and enhanced features that we're not giving on the free site, or that we have never given on the Florida Squeeze site. In fact, you will not have any less free content on the FloridaSqueeze.com. Same type of content that you've gotten from the website over the course of the 8 years of its existence. TFS Plus is an entirely new service with enhanced content. So if you're interested, you can check out TFS Plus at thefloridasqueeze.com. So anyway, let's get back to this conversation about the so-called critical race theory and the state of Florida. In the last several months, Governor DeSantis has made an issue out of the teaching of the so-called critical race theory, which is something that's taught in postgraduate programs at the university level, and maybe some undergraduate courses. I'm not even sure if it is taught at any undergraduate courses. I haven't seen a full audit of where the so-called critical race theory is taught. But the governor felt like he needed to step forward and ban its teaching in Florida schools. For starters, critical race theory is something that is basically geared towards societal preferences and trying to determine at, and again, at a postgraduate level in most cases, whether what you think of as maybe benign laws or benign historical facts have contributed to some sort of long-term historical systemic racism. And it's one of the genres now, if you want to call it that, in terms of teaching, which intersects issues of race with laws of the United States, in this case, societal norms and societal attitudes historically, and maybe even approaches to racial justice historically. So it's a very advanced kind of academic conversation, which the governor and now the State Board of Education believes is geared specifically to somehow changing the minds of youngsters and in their interpretation, polluting the minds of youngsters. So in fact, the State Board of Education and governor's attitude does concern me, because while banning of critical race theory has no real impact in K-12 schools, public schools in the state of Florida, what it does do is it sets a tone from the government that, and from the governor and his allies on the State Board of Education, that history needs to be taught a certain way and that we don't want to tackle certain controversial topics. Now, I think that this is should be a much more nuanced discussion. I don't see this discussion literally in black and white, and I see it in shades of gray. And have to say that American history itself, as it's taught, is full of myths, is full of misperceptions, misinterpretations, full of events being taken out of context, and from our own perspective as Floridians, completely discounts the importance of Florida in the American historical narrative. So I'd like to see American history taught radically differently. If people think that that's critical race theory or making history more about indigenous people and minorities, so be it. I think it's a lot more complicated than that. I don't think it's simply, hey, we have a set of historical, quote, facts that we've been taught through the years, which are not facts. Again, I mean, I could spend hours on this podcast talking about all the inaccuracies in American history and all the events that we've been taught that are out of context and all the individuals in American history that we have been taught wrongly about. You know, be it positively, maybe there are some positive figures that we have deified that don't deserve to be deified. There have also been figures we've maligned that don't deserve to be maligned. And American history is full of myths. I think I understand some of it in that, unlike a lot of other Western societies, the United States is an algorithm, you know, it's just a kind of a mix of different people, a melting pot, as it's been called. So you have to create certain national myths and national narratives to, quote, unite those people. But I think we're at a stage in 2021 where the mythology needs to be parked for some reality. So that's my view, and I'm going to get a little into this in the few minutes we have remaining on this podcast. One of my great frustrations with the recent renaissance in discussions about African American history and the experience of African Americans on the North American continent has been the cutting out of Florida among this narrative, among many people. Although I have to say there's a recognition now that's growing of Florida's importance, whether it be the PBS series, which was, called America's Untold Story a couple years ago, which dealt with St. Augustine and runaway slaves and the experience of people of African descent in the Spanish colony of East Florida, or Spanish colony of Florida, later the colony of East Florida. Or a recent Atlantic article, which discussed the importance of Florida and St. Augustine in the African-American narrative. And got that Atlantic article actually got into what I have concerned myself regarding, have been concerned with myself regarding the narrative being taught basically from a very Anglicized perspective, that the U.S. grew out of these 13 colonies and that everything outside those 13 colonies doesn't really matter in the American experience. So, in fact, some of the discussions in the 1619 Project and other things which are meant to enhance our understanding of African Americans on this continent and their experience leaves out Florida inexplicably, because as we're discussing on our series, and I don't need to rehash everything going on in our ongoing series now on the what we're calling the First Underground Railroad, which was freedom in Florida. Florida had, under Spanish rule, had a very different attitude towards runaway slaves and slavery in general. I mean, there was slavery in Florida. Spanish had slaves, but there were certain legal rights slaves had that they didn't have in areas that were controlled by the British. And runaway slaves who converted to Catholicism, as we've discussed, could serve the crown, could arm themselves, could carry weapons, could do these sorts of things that were not allowed in the British colonies and were later not allowed in the southern United States, right? Not allowed until very recently, until even I would say post-civil rights era, because it was dangerous if you were an African American to even be appear to arm yourself, because you could be shot down in cold blood or lynched, and there would be no legal ramifications for the white person who did that. So Florida, very different from the late 1600s to the 1760s. If we've talked about in that series, Florida's very different. That needs to be taught in schools. It needs to be understood. Florida developed separate from the British colonies to the north and in a different way and had a different set of considerations. Also, I think the issue of religion has to be taught a little more strongly. The United States was a Protestant country for the most part, majority Protestant country. Obviously, they had a separation of church and state, no state religion. However, I, in my own academic research, my own historical research, believe that one of the motivations for the American Revolution was based around anti-Catholicism. Okay, and it's a secondary, third consideration, but it's there. If you're really honest with yourself, Florida, throughout the Spanish period, and even in its period of being ruled by the British, and then back to the Spanish, was in 1784 when East Florida and West Florida were returned to the Spanish. West Florida actually been reconquered by the Spanish, as we've talked about previously on our podcast, by 1781. But Florida, or the Floridas, were heavily Catholic. Therefore, creating a different culture, different attitude, different everything than the Protestant colonies to the north. I think this needs to be taught in Florida schools. Additionally, the history of anti-Catholicism, once Florida becomes part of the United States and becomes like any other southern state, and you have demagogues like Sidney Katz, who we've done a podcast on, who was the governor of this state, was a violent racist, violent anti-Catholic, you know, even said, hey, the Pope is going to come and relocate to Florida, and they're going to the Papists are going to take over Florida. So I think that needs to be taught. There's a large history of anti-Semitism in this state that needs to be taught. You know, right now, a lot of people in politics, they stereotype Broward and Palm Beach counties as in areas where Jewish liberal Democrats are very powerful, going back to the 1970s. However, before the 1970s, you actually had, in some of these places, in Broward and Palm Beach counties, written and unwritten rules against Jews moving into those areas. Very blatant, open anti-Semitism in a lot of places, in Broward and Palm Beach counties. That needs to be taught. As does the history of the Ku Klux Klan in the state of Florida, the murder of Harry T. Moore, the Rosewood Massacre, the Ocoee Massacre, that Florida had the most lynchings per capita in the country from 1900 to 1950, more than Mississippi, more than Alabama, more than Georgia, more than these violently racist states that we think of. So that needs to be taught. So I think it's not just about racial justice, although a lot of it is, but there's religious and ethnic prejudices too, even among what we would consider now in the larger scheme of things, white people. There's ethnic and religious prejudices among that, anti-Catholicism, anti-Semitism, and of course, I think we're getting a little better about this in Florida. We have to come to grips with our own history of treatment of Native Americans in this state. I get the sense that that's a little further along. It's still not where it needs to be, but that's a little further along in terms of education and the way kids are being taught in schools and adults are even being educated in programs and cultural programs than we are with the racial piece when it comes to African Americans and then the religious piece when it comes to Catholics and Jews. So that's my two cents. I think history needs to be taught very differently in school. This critical race theory thing is a red herring that the governor has created in order to continue, in my opinion, the teaching of a mythical American history, which cuts out Florida's own importance, so it's anti-Florida in a way, so Floridians being anti-Florida, go figure, and continues to teach history around myths, half-truths, and things that are taken out of context, and people's reputations that are taken out of context. And I think there's a lot of nuance here. In my opinion, this might be controversial, Thomas Jefferson wasn't a bad guy, in my opinion. Okay, and I know it's now convenient to say he was a racist. He was the architect of the racial system. I think he was very naive in some manners. I think his economic system stunk, quite frankly, would have subjected the United States, as it did to the South, to being virtually a colony of outside interests, which is what happened. Whereas the North, with the Hamiltonian system, was much more independent of European powers. They were trading with Europe, and Jefferson liked to think of Hamilton as some sort of British agent or some sort of pro-British force, but actually it was Jefferson's economic theories and the plantation economy that made the South very dependent on Britain and France even after independence and led to increased slavery. I don't think he was a horrible guy. I do think Andrew Jackson was a horrible guy. He's a terrible guy. So the fact that Jefferson and Jackson get linked together when they were nothing alike, and quite frankly, Jefferson couldn't stand Jackson, maybe it was a good thing Jefferson dropped dead before Jackson became president. The linking of these sorts of figures because of race, I think, is also a dangerous thing that I don't like. So let's teach history properly. Let's not revere and deify Thomas Jefferson and George Washington, but let's put their accomplishments and the things that detract from them in the proper perspective. Same thing with Alexander Hamilton. Let's understand John Calhoun and Andrew Jackson, among others, were monsters. And let's properly appreciate the history of this state, which has included some great things for African Americans that relative to the colonies to the north, but then the terrible history of lynchings, the terrible history of the Ku Klux Klan's involvement in Florida politics, not just at the fact that they were a violent group of hoodlums, but they had a lot of influence within the Florida Democratic Party, which was the governing party of Florida at the time, and then also understand the history of anti-Catholicism, anti-Semitism, and these sorts of forces in the state of Florida, but also celebrate how Florida was different and how Florida developed differently than the colonies to the north. St. Augustine is the oldest European settlement in what is now the United States, and sometimes we forget that, and we forget that it developed very differently than these places we always read about, Jamestown and Plymouth Rock and Charlestown, which is Charleston, South Carolina, and Williamsburg, that there was something very special and unique about St. Augustine and something special and unique about Florida. So that's how I'd like to see history taught, since the Board of Education doesn't feel like, and the governor doesn't feel the real history should be taught. I'm advocating it is taught, and it's taught with an emphasis on Florida. Thanks for listening. We'll be back next week with part 4 of our series on the Underground Railroad and freedom in Florida. You can subscribe to the Florida History Podcast wherever you listen to podcasts. You can subscribe to the Florida Squeeze Plus, our new service on the FloridaSqueeze.com website, and you can continue reading the Florida Squeeze. I'll be back next week. I'll be flying solo again next week. Robert Bucciolato, my co-host, will rejoin us the following week. Wherever you are, stay safe, and thanks for listening.